Amen. What a morning it is today, church. We are, as it's been said in announcements and other moments in this morning service, we are a very, very blessed people. And I really appreciated something Cliff said in during the communion talk, and how he stated that God is smart in setting up this moment for us. And we really do see God's wisdom in the Lord's Supper, in our communing together. He knows what we need. Amen. He knows better than we know. And we are just so blessed. We're so privileged to be here this morning. And I'm just looking forward to this whole morning of worship, being with you. I was looking forward to it earlier this morning in my prayer. I'm just so thankful for the church, the family of God, the most wonderful people in the world, the church. And we are the church, and we are blessed to be called His people. Last week, I was out of the pulpit, as you recall. Byron Benitez, one of the missionaries we support in Guatemala with Hiawatha Jones as well, was here giving us a mission report. And don't forget that we are part of the fruit of the work. I know sometimes we think, well, what are we doing, you know, when we're giving our money to these mission efforts? Well, look at the great work they're doing, the evangelism, the souls that are being rescued and saved. And we're part of the fruit. We're part of the investment in that. And so we were blessed to have that report. And after service last week, we went home. I don't know what you did that evening, but the Broncos were playing, right? And then right during the Broncos game, the World Series was going on. Anybody watch the World Series? I enjoy watching baseball. I know all of us know baseball to some level. Kansas City won. It had been 30 years, I think. They said 30 years the last time that they won World Series. What amazes me about baseball for a moment, I want to just direct your attention to baseball just for a minute. What amazes me at that level of baseball, and I've been around it. When I was a bat boy, I was around the pros, of course, and what has always amazed me at that level of play, more than anything else, is the quality of pitching. Matter of fact, if you go watch any World Series, any game at that level in baseball, you know that they have to have a pitching core. They've got to have a group of pitchers that know how to throw that ball and know where to throw that ball. Otherwise, you're going to lose, right? And the best pitchers around are on those teams. And so most teams have that great pitching core. Now I want to ask this question. What good is a pitch? For those of you who know baseball, what good is a pitch without follow through? So here's the guy. You've seen him. He gets up to the mound. He's got it's called a set point. Well, we've learned it different ways. And I'm not going to pitch for you, but I'll just kind of, you know, give you a little illustration here for a minute. But he gets up there and he's got his balance point. He's got his stretch. He releases the ball. And after he releases the ball, what does he do? He just stands there like this, right? Just goes like that, right, Dallas? No, that wouldn't make for a good pitch, right? They'd hit that ball out of the park every time if it went over the plate because it would have no velocity. Nothing would be on it. You watch that pitcher after he releases, and although their style of wind up is different, every pitcher and release, you'll watch every single one of them follow through. Because a pitch that is not followed through is not a good pitch. Now I want to use that to illustrate our topic this morning, the way of diligence. A pitcher, as follow through is important to the pitcher, diligence is important to you and I. Because diligence really is our follow through. Not one time. The pitcher gets up and he follows through. And he gets on the mound again and he does the same thing over and over and over and over again throughout the whole game until he's taken out. That is the same thing with our diligence. Diligence is our follow-through. Diligence is a great word. It's not a word that we really use very much today. It's kind of an older word now. but it is a biblical word, and it is a powerful word, especially when we're talking growth. Spiritual growth, which has been our focus. Growing in holiness. Developing our character into the very image and likeness of Christ. You must be diligent. It doesn't just happen, remember? It isn't accidental. It's something that you and I must follow through in over and over again. Oxford definition of diligence. I thought this was, there's a few words in here that really helped me grasp diligence. Careful attention. Industry. This is the one that really, I think, illustrates it best for me. Unremitting application. You keep applying over and over. Persistent endeavor. When it comes to increasing our spirituality, diligence is our greatest contribution. But it is our contribution. Remember, as I said the last time we came together, motivation is what gets us going. We're motivated by the magnificent promises of Jesus. Why are you here today? You're motivated by that. That's why you came here. That's why you commune. You took of the Lord's Supper, the bread and the cup to represent His body and His blood. And what all that mean? His precious promises that God has given us in Christ Jesus. Motivation gets us going, but it is diligence in those things that will keep us growing. You know, it's been said that there is a price to pay for everything, right? There's always a price. Is that not true with spiritual growth? There is a price. I like leadership. I mentioned the leadership expert, John Maxwell, in the secular world. He has a lot of information out there, and he wrote an article online on leadership. And here's what he said. I love this quote. He said, "You can pay now and play later, or you can play now and pay later, but either way, you're going to pay." Now, I want you to think about that from spiritual growth. We can play, and we're not literally playing, but we can neglect all these things that we're supposed to do in our spiritual growth. And later on, what happens? We pay. Or we can pay now and be diligent in these things. We're not going to play later, but you get the idea. It will be easier for us. We'll be able to handle those things that come our way. We'll be able to trust. We'll be able to live by faith and walk by that faith. So I want to discuss this morning diligence. Matter of fact, I've got here what I call dangers to diligence if you're taking notes. There are dangers to our diligence, to our continuous effort in our faith and in our growth. And with that in mind, I want you to go to 2 Peter, as we've been there for weeks now. This is a growth book. It is a growth chapter. It is an excellent letter that Peter wrote. Inspired by God, given by the Holy Spirit, directing Peter's mind to write to those struggling Christians who needed to grow. Matter of fact, Peter will say, "I want you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus." Growth is a continuous thing. But this word diligence in the first 14 verses of chapter 1, he's going to use it three times. He's going to use it in different ways, but it means the same thing. You'll notice verse 5, you'll notice verse 10, and you'll notice verse 15 is the word diligent. Starting in verse 5, "For this very reason also, applying all diligence." Where do you apply that in your faith? You know, people are diligent in different things. That doesn't mean they're diligent in their faith. He says, "In all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence in your moral excellent knowledge." I just want to touch on the word diligence there, and also the idea of supply, because they go together. This is an interesting word, supply here. Bring it alongside, keep adding to. How do you do that? Diligently, with diligence. It's a word that was actually used to describe the guy in Athens who was in charge of the Greek plays. The Greek plays in that day were very important, weren't they? That was part of that culture, the Greek culture in that time. And all of this guy's efforts were in the plays. He was the one who supplied everything for the plays. That was his responsibility. He had no responsibility other than to supply everything for the plays. Now think about this spiritually speaking. In the same way, we are the ones responsible to supply diligently to develop in our character. It is, again, our responsibility. And he uses the word diligence. Notice verse 10. Verse 10, therefore, brethren, therefore always means, as I've said, what went on before, what I've just said. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent. Now, if he says something about diligence once, we say, yeah, that's important. But now he says it again. What does that mean? Why? There's emphasis here. Why would he say it more than once? Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you never stumble. And he uses the word diligence again. Make certain about his calling you. How often have we talked about going back and reflecting on where you've come from, where you were, where you are now, and where you're going, and all that God has promised in Christ Jesus, and not forgetting those things. It takes diligence for us not to forget what we have in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 15. So now he's going to say it a third time. He says it once, it's important. He says it twice, it's really important. He says it three times, we really better think about diligence. Peter even says, and I will also be diligent. Not only you, but I'm going to be diligent. That at any time after my departure, and that is Peter's death, Peter knows that his time is coming to an end. He wants them to be able to remember the things that he said. So he uses the word diligent. He says, I'm going to be diligent in teaching you these things so that you, when I depart, will be able to call all of these things to mind. So diligence is directly related to repetition. Today we say, how do we learn? Repetition, repetition, repetition. Right? Peter even said, listen, I'm going to stir you up by way of repetition. So I'm going to tell you things you've already heard. How many times have you heard the things I'm saying? I'm not always going to give you something new. Maybe for some of you, I'll never in all my preaching or teaching give you something new. But I will stir you up by way of reminder, because that's what we're supposed to do. And I must be diligent in it. So that we can always, throughout the week, you're going to leave here today. And I want you to call things to mind. I want you to remember the precious promises and all we have in Christ Jesus. I want you to remember diligence. If you don't remember anything else, just say diligence. I got to be diligent. That's what you need to remember. You know, the Old Testament usage, it's rich in meaning. If you were to go to the Proverbs writer, it's really used a lot when it comes to success. You will find anybody today that is successful in any walk of life, one thing you will note of with all of them, they will be diligent. They keep on keeping on in their work. Now, the Proverbs writer says things like, the hand of the diligent makes rich, but it's the slack hand that will be put to forced labor. So he uses diligence in comparison with laziness, or in that context, slack. That's the opposite of diligence. Look at rich people today. Unless it was handed to them, they had to work to get it. They're diligent. They're not slackhand. They're diligent. They're not lazy. They're diligent people. There is no negligent. Here's another one. Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. So there's just a couple in Proverbs there. There's many others. So back to the dangers of diligence. Dangers of diligence. What are the dangers to our diligence? And for some, it might be different, but I'm going to share with you three this morning, three dangers that I think we have to watch very, very closely when it comes to our spiritual growth. First of all, the danger of what I'm calling for myself good times. You suppose you need to be careful of the good times? As Americans, you know, we want things to be better than they are. We want our nation to be moral. We want our leaders to be moral. We want all these things, right? But let's face it, when we look at the world as a whole and the time of history we've lived in and where God has placed us, we've lived in some pretty good times, right? Please acknowledge that. We've lived in some really good times, maybe the best times ever. We've had more than ever before. Peace. Again, I'm not saying that things are perfect. There is no perfect. But we've lived in some good times. And it's in good times that we must really be careful. It is a danger to our diligence to increasing spiritually. It's always been a challenge for me because my life, for the most part, is very good. Our faith is going good. Our money's well. Our retirement's good. You get the idea. Our jobs are good. We have work. We have peace. We have all these good things, right? Home is good. And on we go. What more do we need if we're not very careful? Everything's good. And if I'm not careful when everything's good, growth for Kurt can be put on the back shelf. Spiritual things get put on the back burner if I'm not careful. It can be neglected. I become negligent. I become slack. But yet there's always the law of undulation. What is that? I shared that with you a long time ago. Undulation is up and downs. We all know that in life, there are ups and downs. And although there are good times, there's going to be bad times. That's what the law of undulation says. It's a law. It's a fact. We know it's coming. There are tough times coming. Now, I know you and I wish that life was always full of ups and ups, right? But it's not. There are the down moments. There are the times where our relationships start to struggle. There are the times our money struggles, our job struggles. There are the times we find out about a disease or something like that. Or I was thinking this week of Ivan and May. May has gone on to be with the Lord. There are those times. It doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter what we've got. The downs are coming. And we need to be ready for the downs. You know, the times will come when we lose these things and where it'll be difficult. And the best time to work on our growth, church, is right now, today, in the good times. Not when times are bad. That's not the time to prepare. It's when everything is good. Listen, we don't have to take seriously the tough times. We're going to take them seriously one way or the other, aren't we? The hard times, the hardships of life, they force us to be serious. But we have to force ourselves to work during the good times to prepare. We prepare in the good times. We need to be diligent in the good times. Number two, the danger of uncontrolled thoughts. The danger of uncontrolled thoughts. I don't suppose I'm the only one who has dealt with that danger. Guys, gals, all of us. The art of controlling our thought, it is an art and it is a practice. And it is something that we don't often learn early enough, but it is something we must be diligent in. And you can be diligent at one moment, or you can work on it at one moment, but you better be ready for another moment, because it's coming. It's something that I think is one of the most important and critical things in our spiritual walk. What we think of. And how we deal with those dangerous moments. I have a control your thoughts, right? Or they control you. You've heard that. That's very true. I have a lot of word pictures for myself that I use. I work on it, and I don't always work well enough, but I work on it like you do. I call them my thought bomb sometimes. You ever have a thought bomb? You're sitting here in church. Maybe you've had one this morning. Maybe you're having one right now. All of a sudden, you have this thought bomb in your head, and if you're not careful and you give in or you detonate that thing, what happened? It explodes. It's not a good thought. It could be in a place you don't need to be or not focusing on God at all and Jesus' Son. You know what I mean. We have those thought bombs and they're dangerous. And we wonder what in the world has just happened. I've been in service before. I've been in communion before. And the thought will come up and I think, where in the world did that thought come from? I was with my son, one of my boys this week, and he brought this very point up to me this week. The thoughts that can come into our mind. We don't want to detonate those thoughts. We want to diffuse them. It's not so much the thought. It's what we do with it. It's what we do when the... You think Jesus had any thought bombs? Sure did. He went to the wilderness with Satan and Satan tempted him. I think those were some thought bombs to give in to Satan's ways. If you're really the Son of God, after he starved nearly to death for 40 days and 40 nights, if you're really the Son of God, you know, take this stone and turn it into bread. He could have performed that miracle in a blink of an eye. But he didn't. Thought bomb. Diffused. How did he diffuse it? Word of God. No, it's not that easy. I can say diffuse it by the Word of God and you can go your way and we still have our thought bombs. It's something we have to be diligent in, that we have to be diligent with. There's another way I've used this idea of controlling them, and there's no real easy way that I've found to control it, but I know that diligence is directly involved. Learning to think differently in that moment. Learning to go from that thought right there and forcing myself to put it on another image. Something else. And you can do that. I know you can. You have control of your thoughts. You can control that. You know, there's another image, mental image I have and I've written about this in an article a while back, you might remember, but those mental images that cross our mental screen, we've got the remote control, don't we? If that thought is not right, that channel is not right, turn the channel. Put it on something different. That's why I use a lot in those moments self-talk. I'll even talk to myself and say, no, that's not true. That's not right. You're a child of God, or something to that effect, and I'll instill some other idea or thought in there. And again, I'm no pro at this. I work on it myself all the time. Diligence is so important when it comes to our thoughts. One of my instructors once said, we let our minds so often just go any way the wind blows. And pretty soon, it's exploded and the bomb has gone off. Solomon the wise one said, watch over your heart with all what? There's our word, diligence. For from it flow the springs of life. We're the sum total of our thoughts. Watch the danger of uncontrolled thoughts. Thirdly, the dangers of I want it now. And boy, I have that one. I want it now. I've grown up in a world in an era that wants it all now. We don't want it now. We wanted it last year. Right? And we could get it. We could get it all, even if we can't afford it. We still can get it. I have been, you know, one thing I've learned when it comes to growth is that our American culture doesn't lend itself to spiritual growth. That's why we got to be diligent. It goes against it. It's against our growth. It's very impatient. You know, and I think about all the things that have sped up my life, the phone and the microwave and everything else that we have right now, and it's still not fast enough. Spell check's not quick enough. I got to pull over and text because somebody wants to get in touch with me, or I've got to answer that email immediately. I can't wait 5 minutes. I'm so impatient. But that impatience doesn't lend itself to growth. We know, as we observe life, that all growth is incremental. There's another good word. What's incremental? Little by little. Right? Little by little, that's all growth. Watch. That's why I love to go off into nature. That's kind of all I do when I go hunt. I'm in nature. I never get anything, but I observe nature. Spend a lot of time reflecting and praying and so forth. But you know, one thing you find about nature is you learn about God's growth. You could stand next to that beautiful snow-covered blue spruce till you're blue in the face for the rest of your life, and you'll never see that thing grow. But you know what it does? It grows. That's God's growth. It's little incremental steps. And so we've got to slow down. We've got to observe. We've got to, as the old adage said, stop and smell the roses. We've got to remember that God is not learned in a hurry. His ways don't come all at once. Yes, it is motivation that gets us going, but we must be diligent in God's ways if we're going to keep growing. That's the dangers of diligence. Watch the good times. Watch them closely. Watch your uncontrolled thoughts. Control them. Work at it. And number three, watch the dangers of I want it now, which our society wants us to buy into. As it's been said long ago, inch by inch, it's a cinch, right? Yard by yard, it's hard. So go inch by inch. God will help us grow. He promises. And be diligent. Tyler's going to lead us in a song. That's our lesson this morning. If you don't remember anything else, just remember diligence. Be diligent this week. And Tyler's going to lead us in this song. If we can encourage you, if you have not heard the truth of Jesus, well, I believe you have. But if you have not obeyed that truth, I encourage you to obey it this morning. You can do that this morning. We're going to stand and sing, and we can encourage you in any way. We can pray for you for anything. This is the moment. Would you come forward? Let us help assist you as we stand, as we sing.